and you don't do that by yelling. You don't do that by memes. And that's all fun. I'm not against that, I guess. But if my goal is to persuade, man, if you have the chance to offend someone and make them never want to listen to you again or just love them where they are, I know which one I pick.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
It is a pleasure, as always. Really do appreciate you tuning in. Really do appreciate you telling a friend. Don't forget three ways to listen to Freedom 95: 950 AM, 95.9 FM, and freedom95.us, also the TuneIn radio app, where you can hear our hosts like Todd Huff. I have gotten to know Todd over the last 5+ years. He's a dear friend, great family. We get a chance today to hear his heart, hear some drastic changes for him and his family over the last 12 to 15 months. Thanks for listening.
It's been about 2 years since you were here, I think, at least.
It's been a while.
When you were here, the 2020 election still felt like it was awful ways. So whatever that means, okay. It was then. And I was asking for prediction, and you don't do predictions.
I try not to.
And now we see where we are. But
I'm usually wrong.
I would say at least the last 8 years or the last two election cycles, a lot of the talking heads say, you know, this is the biggest choice election. It's do or die time. Get out to the polls or else we are screwed. Mm-hmm. And then here we are. And I don't think I've ever heard you say that. You seem to be a little more nuanced. And so here we are. How long has Biden been in power?
Way too long. I think about 15 months, something like that.
1 year into Biden.
Yeah,
and we see where the country is. Do you think there's been irreversible harm? Like, in the bigger picture, as these guys say, we lose our country if we lose this election. And then it happens, and here we are. We're still fighting.
You lose your credibility a little bit, and I don't mean to step on
that.
But I do think that there is a cost there to say that. I think it's fair to say these elections are becoming more and more important because we have two diametrically opposed worldviews, and the more you venture down the path of the wrong worldview, the more dangerous it becomes. I like to tell people America was founded upon ideas. And I would say truth. And I would say truth that ultimately comes from the throne room of God itself. But I think that if America was made great because it followed certain ideas or accepted certain truths, it stands the reason that if we deviate from that too much, at some point, we're going to deviate enough to where the ideas that we once embraced and no longer embrace, it actually causes harm. And at first, it's not irreparable harm, but at some point it becomes that. I don't know where that is on the continuum, but I do know that if you make it sound like, I think you need to make it sound like it's an important election and that these things matter, because now we're having discussions about, you know, gender and kindergartners learning about things pertaining to sexual identity and all this stuff. Where's the conversation next? I just saw there was a guy in prison who's now he's a transgender prisoner who is self-identified as a baby and wants diapers and baby food. And so there's going to be the next thing. This is never going to end. There's no logical end to where this craziness takes us. And to me, it's true to say that every time we venture that direction, we're heading down the path of further and further craziness. But to say it's irreparable, I don't think we're there yet. I actually think that we're at a place where people know something's wrong and they want to hear truth. And that's kind of the starting premise of where I come from. How about we find the common ground, not to compromise my principles, but to find the genuine common ground to say, hey, this is not right. This is not good. These are the things that are good. These are the things that are true. And there's a huge chunk of the country that's in agreement with that. It's not the radical leftists. It's not the ones running the Democrat Party. And so I think there's never been a better opportunity to persuade people to accept these truths and ideas than what we have right now. So, yes, the consequences of elections are bad. I mean, we have Ketanji Brown Jackson on the Supreme Court now, right? We've got inflation at 8.5%. These are real problems, but are they have they irreparably damaged the country? No. Will they at some point? Yes. So the sooner we get to these people who can be persuaded and persuade them, the better it's gonna be. That's my outlook anyway.
You talk a lot about persuasion, and I like your stance on it. Before we even came on the mics, you were speaking about this. We'll get into kind of what you've been up to here soon. But what do you think the biggest task of the conservative right now is, of the believer, of the biblical worldview believing right? I guess I don't know what the big umbrella term should be for us. It seems like we're losing the cultural conversations more and more, mm-hmm. or even finding it more difficult to get that footing. What do you think is the biggest failure of some of us conservative Christians over the last 3 to 5 years?
That's a great question. So I think about that a couple of ways. Number one is we'll get into this more, but we've been traveling the country, and I just bring this up now to say, as part of our journeys, we would always go to a church in the community, and we've been in Florida, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, and we went to probably, I'm going to guess around 8 churches. And as I went, one of the things I was mindful of is what's the spiritual temperature in here, I guess, if that's how you can say it. And I have to tell you, I was incredibly just pleased with the biblical truth I heard being preached in these pulpits. I mean, really, I don't know that I was expecting that. I think part of, you know, I look at the culture today, and I think the church, the Big C church, is, we've been apathetic. We've been uninvolved. We've let government tell us that everything's political. You can only talk about these things, when a lot of the stuff that's political is actually things that the Bible has something to say about. And I think the church needs to reclaim that and not be afraid of that. That's kind of the premise of sorts of why I'm doing this truth tour, which we can talk about or whatever. But I was very encouraged by what I heard in the church. I was very encouraged by just, I don't know, the testimony, the sermons, the things that I saw going on, the feel of worship in these churches, and almost universally. And so to me, the next question is, what's happening outside the churches? Because I felt like inside, hey, there's truth being proclaimed here. I feel the presence of the Lord in these places, right? So then, to me, the next question is, well, is it getting outside the church? Is it penetrating our communities? And then, or are we saying, this is where that happens, and if you want it, you come here. If you don't, then you stay out there and destroy our culture. And I just think that's not the way that it was done, that God used biblical prophets, or, you know, they often went and confronted this stuff in culture. And I think, to your question, I think we have to be engaged in culture. And there's a way to do that. There's many ways to do it, but to be effective, I think we have to be deliberately engaged in culture. We can't have the mindset that says, you know, God's in control. Firmly believe that. But we also have responsibility, right? We're the hands and feet of Christ. And if we don't do it, sometimes God just says, all right, that's your choice, and you live with the consequences. And I kind of feel like that's where we are. And so I would say the general answer is we have to engage politically, first and foremost culturally, then politically, and even within the system of politics, not accept the status quo for what it is. I know a lot of Christians will be Republicans, but don't just say, well, this is my Republican Party. Let's make it more conservative. Let's make it more of what we want it to be, and instead of simply saying, well, this is the worst of two evils or whatever, let's actually get some influence here, persuade some people. I don't just engage. I find when I engage, I am amazed at how many people agree with 80% of what I say. It's remarkable. It really is.
Yeah. You're a guy who has reached a career. I mean, you have, I think I can say this, you have employed liberals.
I have.
Over at the Todd Huff Show. Mm-hmm. You are a guy who does not back away from those conversations. I may or may not have been raised in a home with homeschool, mm-hmm. with a fence, with the walls up, not necessarily engaging with the neighbor kids, not having a TV, not getting the newspaper. And that lends itself to I'm an introvert by nature anyway. Mm-hmm. It just feeds into that. Engaging is always hard. It still is decades later.
Sure.
Engaging is hard. How can those of us who maybe are wired, you're a gregarious personality, you thrive on the conversation. How can those of us who maybe are wired differently, how can we learn to lean into that?
In a weird way, you might be more qualified or more talented at being in that space. And let me explain why. Because I am, by the way, a natural introvert too. I'm not, and I think the best explanation I heard of this is how do you feel recharged? Do you feel recharged after spending time with people or, you know, by yourself? And
yeah.
I can get it both ways, but I mean, most times I just need a little bit of time.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to need a nap after this.
That's
point,
right. So. Probably maybe a week off. But so I think the first thing is, I think some people think that in order to be persuasive, I have to have all the answers. And to some degree, you have to know something. But really, you know, what the word is, it the word educate? To educate, I think, means to draw from within. Hmm. So really, when we educate children or even when we educate ourselves, I mean, it's really bringing out things that we already, there's something inside of us. And I would say that comes from being created in the image of a all-knowing God that we're bringing out. And so it's really the process of helping someone else come to conclusions that are absolutely true. I just read Hebrews 11:6 this morning, and it says that we have to first believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
And so there's something inside of us that just, and Romans says it's kind of the similar sort of thing where it says, you know, that we can see in nature, right? We can see that there's a creator, that we're all kind of without this excuse. And so there's something in us that knows right and wrong. C.S. Lewis writes about this in Mere Christianity. He'll say, if there's a line of people waiting to go somewhere and you cut them, you so much agree with this idea of a moral law that you turn around and try to excuse yourself.
Yeah.
And well, what... If I didn't believe that there was some sort of unwritten moral law, why would I need to excuse myself from anything? I believe so much that we have the same understanding that I shouldn't cut your place in line that I have to tell you why I'm justified to break this law, right? And so he's got a lot more to say about that. But I think the starting point is, when I think about persuading, the first thing I tell people is listen, which is a great thing for an introvert. I mean, you're listening right now. And the introvert is naturally inclined to listen. When you do speak, you ask questions. And if you ask questions, all you're doing is really bringing out, helping someone bring without, you know, from within the ideas and beliefs that they have. And those are the two most important things. And then you earn the right to speak by listening. And I'm just reminded of an instance I had with one of our liberal team members. Her name was Shauna, and she told me when she first started, she said, "Todd, I'm a liberal Democrat." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Can you sell ads?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, that's fine. That's all I care about." So for the first couple of weeks, this is when Trump was president, all she wanted to do was criticize Trump, and she tried to goad me into some fight. And I let her say anything. I did. I let her say whatever she wanted, no matter how ridiculous I thought it was. And I would listen. And I just wouldn't respond. And I did this for a couple of weeks. And I kid you not, one day she said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And I'm like, "Oh, now you want to know what I think?"
Yeah.
Because I'd earned the right, because I wasn't interested in just fighting with her. Yeah. It's not just about being right or having the right things to say. Now she's engaged. Maybe she's, who knows what her intentions are at this point. So I told her what I thought. And I'm telling you, without compromising my principles, and she told me when I hired her, she said, "Todd, I'm a liberal Democrat." And I said, "That's fine. I was raised in a Union Democrat home. These things don't bother me. Like, we can still be friends. I don't know where you get this idea that we have to be mortal enemies. You know, we may have different ideas, but I think we don't have as many different ideas as you think we do." And so she said to me, after we began to listen and have conversations about some of these things, I kind of come to the realization that we probably agreed on 70%+ of things without me compromising anything, right? And so you come to realize how powerful it is, the politics of personalities. You mentioned the name Trump or Make America Great Again, or you mentioned the name Biden or these things, Democrat Party, Republican Party. It's so emotionally charged, it's hard to get past some of that. But if you can, and if you can keep names out of it, listen, ask questions, earn the right to speak, I think you'll find, unless you're dealing with the extreme radical leftists, you're going to find a huge amount of things that you agree with somebody. And they might be thrilled out of their minds because they think people like me are racist, homophobes, you know, antiquated, backwoods idiots. And they learn through the conversation, that's not really true. In fact, I got another story maybe we can get to. But anyway, Shauna told me by the end of our dealings with one another, you know, these conversations, she actually told me, she said, Todd, I could never support a conservative Republican, but I can support you. Mm. And I said, Shauna, that's not true. You just know me. Yeah. And I think that's it. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing special that I told her. I'm telling you, it wasn't some sort of a intellectual jujitsu. It was just being a human being to her. And not being afraid when the time came to explain what I thought, right? So I think in some ways introverts are more wired to be able to operate in that environment than someone who's just dying to share their opinion. You know what I mean? So
we'll continue to talk around these principles, I'm sure. Todd Huff Show, Monday through Friday, morning drive on Freedom 95, toddhuffshow.com. Podcast available on everywhere.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Those faithful Todd Huff listeners will know about this truth tour you keep referencing. But for those who don't, let's back up. You've been on Freedom 95 for over 5 years now.
It's crazy, yeah.
You've been in Morning Drive for almost 5 years, I think.
Maybe. This year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so, July 31st, yeah.
So the truth tour is another element. You're a big dreamer, and we've had a lot of conversations over the years, but your life kind of changed in the last 12, 14 months, I think. So I don't know where you want to start, but I guess it starts with obedience, right? You start to feel this tug?
Yeah. So I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to not make this sound like a sermon. I'm just trying to tell the truth and the story here. But basically, this is something that I feel that God has called me to do in general, this program. I think my passion comes ultimately in wanting to help people hear and receive truth. And I don't have it all figured out. I want to make sure people know that. That's not some arrogant statement. I'm just saying the truth that I do know, I want to make sure doesn't get lost, because a lot of truth has gotten lost in this country over the generations and my lifetime. And it happens because those of us who know things, those of us who have been convicted by truth, we sometimes don't pass it along to the next generation. And so I've been really, God has, I think, positioned me and prepared me to be able to be an instrument for that. So that goes back to 1999. I'm not going to fill in all the details, but that's really where this dream started that long ago. So as we've been growing the show, you mentioned we've been on Freedom for 5.5 years, on almost 5 years on Morning Drive now. We have a TV show now that's on WHMB TV 40 Monday nights at 9:30. Our podcast is in the top 5% of all podcasts by total downloads in the world today. And so things have just been moving in the right direction. Some, usually not as fast as I would like, but they've been moving in the right direction. So God has laid upon our heart, my wife as well, Danielle, that it was time to kind of take, I don't know, maybe the training wheel? I don't know, just, you know, to knock the walls down a little bit and begin to move this outside the walls of Indiana. And so, long story short, we felt God tell us, and this was something that happened. It happened over, it wasn't like one afternoon God convicted us and we said yes. This was several months of praying and feeling moved in direction and talking to people and praying and all that kind of stuff. But we sold the house, we sold our house, pretty much everything we have. We kept more than I thought we would keep, but we sold most everything. We bought a fifth wheel, and we're embarking on what we're calling the Truth Tour. And at the core of it, the idea is to get our content, our radio show, our TV show, and then we're starting a column as well, to get those syndicated on other networks and to use our travels as a way to connect with other stations and outlets and so forth. And also to eventually begin speaking at churches. I think you've heard me reference churches in some of our talk already, but I think that Christians need to be, we need to be motivated to get involved in this cultural, political debate. I mean, it's a necessary part of being American. And if we don't stand up and defend the truth and proclaim the truth, who else is going to do that, right? So that's kind of what we're doing. There's a lot, of course, that comes with that. But again, the ultimate idea is to get our message in front of more people and to really give people a program that is conservative, not bitter. I have to throw that in there. Conservative, not bitter. And we need to find ways to, I don't know, just do the basics better. Love our neighbor, you know, communicate the truth in love. Again, without compromising principles, we have to be able to do these things. And so that's kind of the premise of what we're doing with the Truth Tour. And we're moving that direction. It's not fully off the ground yet, but we've made our first trip. And you know, we homeschool, so we have that part of the story as well. So, but that's what we're doing.
I had been to your house, great yard. Couldn't have been easy. And I know you said we, you didn't say I. So this is a good opportunity for you to maybe recognize your wife. And I feel like the linchpin of the whole thing, like we're going to do this, came from when she spoke up, right? I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Having that conversation with you. What was that process like?
You know, it's funny. I got a quick story to tell. This just reminds me. This is not related, but it kind of paints the picture. So on our honeymoon, you're going to like this story, by the way. On our honeymoon, we went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. We got married in 2006. And I'm going to say, for the sake of time here, we were kind of tricked into attending. And I mean, the word tricked is fair. We were tricked into attending a timeshare presentation. We were very vulnerable coming.
Have you heard of Dave Ramsey?
we were tricked. I'm telling you, we were tricked coming off the plane. They start carrying your luggage. Next thing you know, you're getting signed up for this thing. So we went, and this was in the days before. I mean, we had cell phones, but not like we do today. Yeah. Uber didn't exist, so they like came and picked us up, and we went to this thing, and we're sitting in the presentation, and I tell my wife, I'm like, we're not buying this. Like, this is not happening. We're just going to check off our stuff and get out of here. And so we're having this conversation, and I'm doing all the talking. Danielle's sitting there completely quiet, which is exactly how it always works anyway. So she's sitting there quiet, and they're having a conversation with me, and I notice everyone else that's in that room is leaving. We're one of the last people there, and I'm a pretty direct guy. Like, I tell this guy, I say, we're not buying this. You know, give us whatever we need to get and give us the car and let us go. Instead, he goes to get his manager. And his manager comes over and begins to sell again. I'm like, listen, you're not listening to what I'm telling you. We're not buying this. I have zero interest in this. Danielle's still being quiet. This matters at the end of the story. I didn't understand this at first. He then goes, not to get the driver, but to get the top dog. I mean, he had his shirt unbuttoned pretty much below his sternum.
It's like Russian nesting dolls. It keeps getting bigger.
It did. He came out, and I'm telling you, Jeremy, I've never been closer to another man's nose. We were within an inch of each other, nose to nose. And I was in very clear terms telling him he had better send a car, and they were going to take us out of there. We're not buying. And it got very, very intense. My wife, who had not said a single word during the whole thing, hits the table like that, and she says, this conversation's over. As soon as she said that, they got us our car. They sent us home. And it took me a few minutes to comprehend what had happened. And I told her, I said, you know what the problem was? They thought it was you and them against me. They thought she wanted the timeshare because she wasn't speaking up with me. She was just sitting quietly.
Yeah.
And so they assumed in that silence that she was really wanting to buy. And so they thought it was a combination, bring in every conceivable human being to back me into the corner to say yes, which was never going to happen. But the point is, that's her nature. She's a quiet person.
Yeah.
So for her to say, for her to say, Todd, I think we should sell the house, and I think we should take this journey. I think this is what God's calling us to do. That is a big deal. And I didn't try to persuade her. I mean, we had conversations. Some of the journey that we, of coming to this decision, she and I shared, but some of it happened independently, like in our own prayer time or listening to sermons or reading books or whatever. I've never had consistently a message from God that no matter what sermon I was listening to, book I was reading, verse of the day, it was just consistently reinforced, this is what I want you to do. And I think she would say the same thing if she were here, although she'd probably sit quietly a lot longer than I would. but she would at some point slap her hand down and say, this is what God wants us to do. And that's what happened, effectively. We just got to that point to where it was truly, it was undeniable. It was truly overwhelming to where we knew that if we didn't say yes, we were literally telling God no. And when I say it like that, it kind of hits me because it's not been all roses and, rainbows and leprechauns since then. It's been tough and there's been some struggles, but we know we're doing the right thing. And, America needs to have to hear these truths. America needs to know really what's at stake. And America candidly needs to turn for the first time to Jesus, right? I mean, that's at the core of a lot of this stuff, is just America's spiritual condition as well. So that's, I guess, in a nutshell, how we got to that. And it is we. It's not me. Believe me.
You have three kids. You said that they were homeschooled. That's one hurdle that's cleared. But mentally for them, emotionally, how has it been?
We have a 12-year-old son, Logan, a 10-year-old daughter, Evie, and a 8-year-old daughter, Audrey. And so our son loves, they all miss seeing their friends regularly, but or going to church or seeing family. But they love the adventure because we've got to see some cool stuff. We've been to the Alamo. We were in, the Keys. We went to Disney. I'm not sure we would do it again, but we went to Disney back in February. We went to, I don't know if I mentioned the Alamo, Carlsbad Caverns, White Sands National Park. I mean, they've got to see and do things and hear the history of America. We, drove through New Orleans and, they got to see at least the city and just different experiences like that. I think that they've enjoyed it. Now, one of my oldest daughter, she's the one who's most, she's kind of a homebody. So it's the hardest, I think, on her, but she still has, a great time. And, just the experiences, the opportunity to learn and to see things and to have this hands-on learning experience, it's been really good for them. But they were also glad to come home here a couple weeks ago too. So
mentioned growing pains, and you are a guy who openly admits that you have hard conversations with God. As long as I've known you, you've had those. What would be your insight for somebody maybe who is feeling a calling, a tug, or wrestling with God, doing something maybe out of their comfort zone?
Listen. Listen and try to clarify. Talk, be open. I think sometimes we have this notion, at least I do, I can't tell God that because, that's not, because sometimes I'm thinking, what are you wanting me to do? Like, this just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's not like it's surprising to God. I think we have to have those candid moments. I think sometimes we sanitize the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and we were talking about this a little bit off air, but sometimes it's because of how it's written, in the sense that, there might be a sentence or a paragraph that might be 40 years or 400 years, right? And we sometimes, people were struggling during that time, the idea that Abraham, you know, Abraham and his story speaks to me. Joseph's story in the Old Testament really speaks to me when I think about the things I've struggled with. And they weren't just sitting there every day just knowing that it was eventually. They didn't know how the story ended, right?
That's the thing.
And to me, I think by struggling, by taking these steps of faith that we have, you do see the hand of God. But I tell people, and I really mean this, that a lot of times it feels like you're walking across the Grand Canyon on a single wire balancing, but it doesn't mean that God's not there either. I think that's the story of how he deals with his people. I mean, you look at Moses, I mentioned Abraham, I mentioned Joseph. These things take sometimes time. I just heard a sermon series on the book of Ruth. Same sort of thing. She didn't know when she went to glean that Boaz's field. She didn't know any of that. She didn't know who Boaz was. And you think, my job is to respond to God the best way I know how. And I don't have all the answers. But if I feel him calling me in a certain way, if I feel like my talents and abilities complement that calling, or the things that are within my heart, my dreams and ambitions, and I have friends that are telling me, hey man, you'd be good at this, or as you're feeling the call, if you tell some of your close Christian, you know, fellow believing friends, and this is what I feel like God wants me to do, I've got one of the most conservative friends in the world, and when he tells me that's a risk you should take, I mean, I pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think anybody should take any risk, you know. And so I think God really just wants us to move towards him, you know, and I think our job is to take as much of that step as we can, and just try to move towards that. In fact, one of my favorite things to say about this very thing is the Old Testament Jacob, when we gave him a hard time because he wrestled with God or an angel on the riverbanks. Most people think it's God. And I'm not saying we should fight with God, but I think how much more problematic is it for God if Jacob didn't even engage him? Hmm. If the alternative was Jacob walks away from the fight or Jacob has the fight, mm-hmm. I think God would say, bring the fight. Yeah. I mean, you're engaging with me. Yeah. His name got changed. He walked with the limp from that point on. And so things happen, right? And those things don't happen if you don't move towards what you think God's calling you to do, even if it sounds crazy. I mean, I'm amazed at people who, you know, they'll believe God created the heavens and the earth from nothing. They believe Jesus raised from the dead. But when it comes to, you know, God working in my life, oh, he can't do it. I mean, he can't do that. Of course, we're talking child's play for God at this point. He created everything we know from nothing, right? He rose from the tomb as a dead man, right? Being able to take what little I bring and do something magnificent with it is way more in the realm of possibilities than those two things.
Practically speaking, you touched on it a little bit, but the truth tour, what does a trip look like? How do you decide where to go? And then what are the bigger dreams? Like, ideally, what could it be?
Sure. So the shorter answer is we're still learning all this.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's where we kind of off air, we were talking about, you know, say Noah building the ark. We sometimes overlook how long he was swinging the hammer. We just think, okay, God said this. He spent a weekend building the ark. Animals show up. That's not exactly how the story went, right? And so we're still learning. But I would say prayer, connections, where does it just make the most sense, and where do we feel like God's leading us? So that's a big part of it. Eventually, what I envision happening is we would go, you know, to a community and try to speak, I think, at churches and other venues, primarily churches, but anywhere we can get an audience, and then use that leverage to make connections, to go to other stations, be it television, radio, news outlets, to kind of make that a home base for the content, right? So that's ultimately what we want to do. And so it's, I don't have all the answers. I will tell you this, though, and we've been contacted by syndicators before, but as fate would have it, about 2 weeks ago now, I was contacted by somebody. I'd always refused this because it costs so much. Like, you really have to give up half. I'm not even kidding you. Half of what the potential earnings are to syndicate versus doing, you know, through a syndicator. But we've been talking with someone that his business model is different, and we're actually very close to maybe pulling the trigger on this, and we're looking at being on some bigger markets. And so when you compare having help getting on the bigger markets with going out to smaller stations, which is where I envision us going, Topeka or, you know, Springfield, Missouri, or Tacoma, Washington, or, you know, smaller, not Seattle, not Chicago, not Dallas, not New York. They're not going to put it. We're not in that echelon of shows. Hopefully yet would be the right way to say that. But if we can combine those two strategies, I really feel like in maybe short order, we can begin to start getting in front of more people.
For a media nerd like me, you've had the TV show now for about a year.
It'll be a year in August, yes.
What kinds of things have you learned through that process?
Oh, well, the first thing is I'm a radio guy first. and I really, I know I'm talking to the radio guy, but I mean that. Like, I just, you know, radio podcast to me, and I've heard people say listening to our show is like listening to, you know, a mentor, a close friend. That's really what it is. I mean, we're just talking about the issues, and it's not scripted, none of that. It's just me, it's just talking, right? TV is a different animal. It just, and part of it's probably in my head, but also it's, you don't have the leeway you might have in radio. You don't really have the floating breaks or the ability to go a few minutes over here or there. It's just much more concise. One of my favorite things that Rush ever said was when he had a TV show, and he would say, when he had his television show, people would say, "I liked your tie." And when he had his radio show, they said, "I liked what you had to say about this." And that's really why I like radio. It's the theater of the mind. It forces you to, you can't passively listen to talk radio. It's just not possible. I mean, I enjoy it. I think for me, it's about reaching people where they are. And some people prefer that. But it's more outside my realm of what I would say my natural talents and abilities and preferences are. But I still enjoy it. It's just a different animal.
Probably finish up with more of a philosophical question here.
And I like these.
There are some days when I think the lines between biblical worldview and conservative politics are very blurred. There are some days when I feel like it makes sense to kind of keep it separate. I know conservatives who are atheists.
Sure.
I know Jesus lovers who are liberal.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Where do you land on all that, especially the climate, Trump, post-Trump, maybe pre-Trump again, I don't know. But the church's role, you talked about it early on, the church's role in all this, the philosophical place on the map where the Republican Party is right now, it kind of seems like a mess. Mm-hmm. Where do you land on all that?
I think I would say that, so one of the things that I've addressed, in fact, we have an Easter episode that I always do this on Easter. I talk about Resurrection Sunday and Easter and all that. And I basically tell the story, or, you know, make the argument from the position of, no matter who you are, what you believe, any of that, the story is true for you, right? The story that Jesus died and rose from the dead for you is 100% accurate. So on one level, that's all that matters, right? I mean, ultimately, from the perspective of eternity only. However, it does matter in today's world as well, because there are instructions in the Bible on how we're supposed to live. And there, of course, there's differences of opinion and interpretation and preferences. You know, it's not wrong if you like vanilla ice cream more than chocolate, although I certainly might challenge that notion. But the point is that not everything's black and white. In fact, as I've gotten older, I realize there's a lot more gray. But I think what conservatism does is it prevents, I think having a conservative ideology with Christianity fits hand in glove, because I think that the way we're supposed to choose to live our lives from a biblical perspective, I think that conservatism says, you know, you should choose that on your own, not be forced to do that by a government. And I think that's the alternative direction that it ultimately goes. And the bigger the government, I think a lot of people, I've had liberals tell me they view government, not all liberals, but the radical left, they view government as a type of God The government has begun to take over some of the roles of the church, I think, over time by growing. But you can certainly be a Democrat and a Christian. I mean, some people I don't think like me saying that, but it's certainly true. But there are things, like, for example, I would say a Christian who's a Democrat has to do something with the issue of abortion. Like, I don't understand that, right? And when you look at some of the other crazy stuff that's coming out, especially how we're raising our children, these things with gender, a lot of the social stuff, I would even maintain the ideology of socialism. People would say, well, the early church shared their possessions, but they didn't do it by force. They did it by choice, right? And so, but the ideology that socialism is good, I think that's fraught with problems. I don't think I think when you see Jesus tells you or tells me to help the poor. He doesn't tell us to vote for a politician who's going to take our money and help the poor. So I think that there's some problems, I certainly don't think that conservative can mean atheist, right? It basically just means, hey, I'm made to be a free person. I shouldn't have the government telling me. I would never tell someone or think the government should tell someone, you have to go to church, even though I think that's a great thing. Right? You have to believe in Jesus. That's not how this stuff should work. But we have a government that's telling us to do a lot of other things. And ultimately, God's a God of choice. I mean, he gave us the ability to choose him or not. And so for me, the more that we can have choice and more that we can have the ability to make decisions in our own lives to be the hands and feet of God, that's where I want to be ideologically, I guess. And I think clearly the best place for that's in conservative Christian worldview. Yeah. Versus, and notice I didn't say Republican. That's the other thing. Like, I don't always consider myself Republican. I think that there's certainly some problems, and people play politics from both sides of the aisle. And to me, it's about truth. To me, it's about people. To me, it's not about winning elections. It's about winning hearts and minds. And I don't know. Everything's not political either. I mean, we've let politics take over everything. And I think that's as big of a problem as anything, because we're not allowed to have these conversations, or we don't think we can. I think these things should be saved for the public square. You know, people can explain why this idea is better than this, and then we can choose. Do we homeschool? Do we send our kids to private school? Do we go to church? Do we not go to church? Do we believe in this or do we not believe in this? Versus, this is the way it's going to be, and if you have any questions or doubts, you're going to be silenced on social media. You're going to be ostracized by your friends. You're going to be maligned by the media. You're going to be attacked by the radical left. I mean, that's not good. And by the way, both sides do the attacking.
Sure.
And that's not good. Sure. Either, no matter where it comes from. So I hope that answers. Yeah.
We run to our corners so quickly, so easily. There's safety in the belonging. There's a comfort zone in some of that mentality, and I fight that every day. I probably am more woke than I was 5 years ago, but I'm probably more conservative than I was 5 years ago, too, because I've just looked at stuff, and I've solidified in my own heart. And I'll ask you one more question. Like, you talk about this for at least an hour every day. Like, what things have been solidified beyond a shadow of a doubt in your own heart just verbalizing this every single morning?
I think that when I think about it, that's a good question. So I think I would say the thing that I've learned the most on this journey is maybe where we started, which is I don't think we're that far apart. I really don't. And I know the conservative, the limited government type, the libertarian, they're light years away from the radical left. I get that. But that's a small percentage of people. A lot of people who are Democrats are single issue voters, right? My dad's a Union Democrat, and he's conservative on a lot of things. But voting for a Republican, in his mind, is voting for someone that doesn't have the interest of his personal, you know, ability to earn an income and all that kind of stuff. And that's a legitimate fear. I'm not saying it's justified, but that's where he's coming from. But you end up voting for these things that lead to things that he would never in a million years want to see happen in his country.
Yeah.
And to me, I just think, I really do. I think 70% of the, I believe this, and I'm going to, you have to carve out a caveat. I don't know about Seattle or San Francisco or some of these other crazy places, but I really think that 70 to 80% of the people have a lot more in common than we ever dreamed. And some of that I thought before, a lot of it I've realized by our travels, the limited, I mean, we've been, you know, through several states already. People, I share with this with you off air, I've yet to find one of the 81 million proud Joe Biden voters, you know, and I say that a little bit in tongue in cheek, but I mean, nobody voted for what we're dealing with now. Yeah. Nobody did. Yeah. And they don't know what's broken, but I think they know something's broken. And to me, it's as simple as if we want the only way conservative ideas or, you know, the founding principles of this nation survive is if we pass those along to the next generation. And in order to do that, we better figure out how to persuade or communicate in such a way that makes people understand and accept those. Because, and you don't do that by yelling. You don't do that by memes. And that's all fun. I'm not against that, I guess. But if my goal is to persuade, man, if you have the chance to offend someone and make them never want to listen to you again or just love them where they are, I know which one I pick, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's good. Todd Huff, the Truth Tour, coming to a city near you.
That's
if somebody wants to reach out, have you in, get a hold of you, pick your brain, whatever, what's the best way to do that?
And we do a lot of that now. I'm glad you said that. So I'm looking, you know, we're looking to book some places locally, but anywhere around the country, truly. Best way is probably email todd@toddhuffshow.com. And I do respond to those. I do tell people to just make sure those emails count. Don't waste the opportunity of a lifetime to email the one and only. But I'm, in all seriousness, we respond to those, and we're looking for churches to speak at. And I'm looking for pastors who know and understand and want their congregation to see that church is outside the walls, right? Church is engaged in culture. I'm not there to talk about politics. I'm there to talk about culture. I'm there to talk about biblical issues. I'm there to say, you know, we better wake up and find a way to take this outside the walls. And so todd@toddhuffshow.com is the best way to get us.
It's good. I will close with this. How can our listeners be praying for you guys?
Oh, man. Just that we continue, you know, making the right decisions as we grow. I mentioned, you know, looking at syndication and, of course, all the travel stuff. And there is a lot of stress. I mean, we're blessed. I want to make sure that people know that. But there's a lot that goes on with this, right? I mean, we're traveling, and I share with you, we had a little bit of an accident coming back from Santa Fe. Nothing. It could have been a whole lot worse. So just to be wise and the protection of God, because, you know, the more that we put ourselves out there, the more we're going to get attacked. I mean, I already know I've already been called bad names, mm-hmm. right? That comes with the territory. But to be able to defend our reputation and really what we're doing, I have no ill will towards a single human being. I mean, this is about proclaiming truth and ultimately pointing people to the truth of Christianity, to Jesus, and to what I think are true principles upon which this country are founded upon. But not everybody likes that, man. And, you know, we've been under some attack from, it's just going to get worse as we grow. So, and just that God sends us the right people and the resources to do what we need to do. So,
conservative, not bitter talk radio in your morning on Freedom 95 with the Todd Huff Show, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
Prefer to get specific about it. The Truth Tour going on now, toddhuffshow.com, todd@toddhuffshow.com.
That's right.
We love the Huffs. Todd, thanks for coming by.
Well, Jeremy, you do a great job with this, man. I always enjoy doing it, so keep up the good work.
The edit button really helps.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.